Hi, I'm Andrew Rich, and if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Rob McCarron.
Hashtag authority. Hashtag Steph Bouncy. Hashtag SmackDown 15.
Jeff Hawkins.
You done digging that hole?
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Dance on your grave, dirt sheet writer.
Shake Them Ropes. I am Jeff Hawkins. He is Robert McCarron. And Rob, I have been watching me some World Cup, and I enjoy the World Cup. But I'm going to tell you something, Rob. What? I am not going to take any crap about the sanctity of soccer, about this whole red card thing, when soccer has long been known to be the most corrupt sport in the world. I'm hearing people from countries that have governments that last 5 minutes telling us that the Americans have ruined the great pure game of soccer because someone complained about a red card, which was done three other times during this World Cup, but apparently we're bad about. But you know what? Ball don't lie. We lost 4-1. There you go, guys. Okay.
Well, it wasn't the red card. It was the rescinding, the suspending of the red card, which has not happened this World Cup. It was quite a crazy move, but in the end of the day, it didn't matter.
Well, postponed. It wasn't rescinded. It was postponed. Correct.
It was suspended. Yes, it was suspended. Yes. So he's basically on a year probation. You better be a good boy. Although at the same time, in the next year, the U.S. men's national team will not have anything of note.
No,
anything important at this point. I don't think we can win a gold cup against Mexico or Canada. Like that performance that night was so bad. The sanctity of soccer, it'd be like Balogun's red card being rescinded and allowing him to play, as if you went on vacation for 2 months and when you came back, you just opened a door and boom, you were the world champion. It would never happen in any other real event. Jeff, we have new world champions.
Yes.
Not just one, not just two. Three new world champions over the last week and a half. CM Punk is the new WWE. Oh, no, sorry, the world. What is he? Is it the WWE? He's the WWE champion.
Yes.
He's the WWE champion, the world heavyweight champion, is Roman Reigns. In AEW, this Wednesday, we had what was widely suspected, Kenny Omega winning the AEW world title. And I don't know if you've been paying attention, but Nicholas J. Nemeth is the TNA world champion right now. And there's rumors that Mike Santana lost the belt because he's headed to NXT. So, gosh, every major company has a new world champion. Which new world champion, Jeff Hawkins, is the most notable?
Punk. I mean, just by nature of it, because I think Kenny's only going to hold that belt for about a month until All In, and then Will's taking it, I think. So
this is going to be the year. This is one of those years where AEW World Title is probably going to switch another time after that. Although Will Ospreay could be one of those guys who has it for like a year, year and a half, maybe till next All In. But at the same time, the belt's been switching quite a bit this calendar year so far.
I'm just baffled that they didn't do this on the pay-per-view in Canada. This would be the perfect place to do it. And also, let me ask you this. If you're MJF And I know, you know, a lot of these things don't really matter, but they kind of matter. You've now lost the title twice on free television. Do you ever want to say, hey, can I lose the title on a pay-per-view so that it's actually, you know, memorable and stuff?
Well, true. I mean, more people, there's the argument that more people see it when it's on free TV. Like, so more people are seeing MJF lose this world title so many times. Maybe there's some type of scheduling conflict. It's possible MJF's not going to be on the pay-per-view. It's possible Kenny Omega can't be on the pay-per-view. It's and correct me if I'm wrong, it's in Montreal, right?
Correct.
It's going to be a hot crowd. But, like, Montreal is barely Canada. Like, they don't want to be Canada. They want to be Quebec. Kenny Omega is not from there, although maybe he is, but I don't think he is. Yeah, it's a different type of world. Where's Kenny Omega from?
He's from Winnipeg, but don't quote me on that.
I'm looking it up too, because I believe, yeah, he's from Winnipeg. Okay, so he's from Winnipeg. The whole other side of the nation, it'd be like, oh my God, Randy Orton is defending his belt in New York City, which is great because he's from Missouri. Like, it's not the same thing, guys. It is weird that they didn't do it on the pay-per-view. Seemingly you didn't have to rush it, if only for the fact that they wanted, a month and a half to sell tickets. Maybe they just wanted those two extra weeks of knowing that it's Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay to sell tickets for Wembley. That's maybe the main reason I can think of, other than, hey, there's someone who may not be available for that night.
But if you're that kind of fan, you already knew that Kenny and Will was going to be the match probably at All In. So you already have probably bought your tickets.
Possibly. I think everyone who's that kind of fan already has their ticket.
Right.
But it's that two extra weeks of, man, I really can't miss this. Of people thinking that, oh, you know, I maybe it's going to be MJF. We think it's going to be Omega, but they haven't put the belt on him. MJF just won it from Darby Allin. Like, what does that say about Darby Allin, that he's three champions ago now, or two champions ago? I think there's reasons in Tony Khan's head that he did it for this night. Maybe he just wanted to pop some type of number because he's begging for some other company. We might see the year of every big match except for a few are going to be on television, because this guy's going to be looking for a new TV deal next time around, and he's going to lose his current home.
It's an interesting night to do it because it's the one night, you know, the respite of the World Cup, and nothing's there. But it's just so I understand it, and it feels very Monday Night Wars-ish in that pay-per-views are now building to the free television.
Well,
for the most
Beach Break, as much as I am I will never watch Collision because your main event is always Andrade versus No Name, who's not going to be on TV for another 3 weeks afterwards. John Moxley versus who even cares, like Jake Doyle is your main event. Like, these Collision doesn't have the matches that are like, oh, this could be on a pay-per-view, or this could be on a Dynamite,
right,
or this is a really big match. Dynamite lately has not been having those either. They've been having a lot of squashes that somehow still go 15 minutes. But no, this night, I mean, Beach Break, the lineup's being read out, and you're watching match after match, and I'm like, holy shit, the pay-per-view is today. This thing that they're going to have in Montreal is going to be a Dynamite. The pay-per-view was last night.
Mm-hmm.
And now we head to Wembley. I mean, the Montreal pay-per-view is probably going to be all Edge and or Cope and Cage. I could very well see MJF versus Omega being rematched on this show. I could also see MJF versus Ospreay, MJF complaining about his title shot, Ospreay being the, you know, the big man he is. I'll put up my title shot to get you out of the picture. Something like that. I could see some of these main events coming into place in the next 2.5 weeks. We still have loads of time. There have been...
It's going to be Speedball versus the Jet.
It very well could be. We'll get to the Jet later, because Jesus Christ, why put him in the group to just 2 weeks later already cause strife and friction?
Yeah.
There will never not be friction in the Don Callis family, but we'll get to that in a second. There have been all-outs that were announced. I'm thinking that year where there was All Out or All In Wembley, and then All Out the next week in Chicago.
Yeah.
We got an All Out announcement for Chicago, but it's going to be happening, I believe, in September, and late in September. So you're going to have some time in between. But there have been weeks where literally they've built an entirely new card in 1 week. I mean, God, he's got 2.5 weeks now. So there's a whole lot of stuff that could be happening. Notability wise, I agree that CM Punk being in the title picture and also having a big match most likely at SummerSlam is the most notable. But Kenny Omega certainly winning, even though a lot of people probably suspected it to happen, definitely throws a wrench in the next month and a half of AEW TV, because now you know you're getting Ospreay and Omega. What's Omega going to do after that? Plus, it was a hell of a match. MJF Omega. I mean, the actual wrestling, including Jericho, although he's starting to get in that Matt Hardy territory where he can barely move and his back doesn't move at all. He's getting there. There were some good matches on this show. I'm glad Ciampa got the win over Jericho. What do you say on Beach Break overall outside of the main event title picture?
The one thing that kind of irked me was the booking of Takeshita and Fletcher. I thought it was a good match, don't get me wrong, but it's like, okay, I understand the reason you have Takeshita is losing so he can go do the G1. The problem is the buildup to this match was his friend turned on him
his family turned on him
and beat the snot out of him. And this is the one where you decide to do a clean finish over Takeshita as a way to really give him that boost going into the G1, because nobody pays attention to both companies from AEW and New Japan. I was like going, what is this? I agree with you on the jet thing. I thought that was kind of weird. But also, they did a thing where Andrade comes out, and if he beats Jake Doyle, he gets a match with Mark Davis for his title.
Who I learned yesterday is the national champion.
Yes. But half an hour later, Mike Bailey comes out and just challenges Mark Davis after having lost to Jake Doyle a week or two before.
Well, okay, in theory, right? Well, Mike Bailey, you're not really a threat to me. So sure, I have to defend this title anyway. I might as well do it against your scrawny ass. And then maybe Andrade, who, by the way, I don't know if you've ever seen that scene from Friends where Joey is wearing everything Chandler owns. He's like, well, you're wearing my underwear. I'm going to wear everything you own. That's what Andrade looked like last night. Was that a 19-piece suit? Like, Jesus, he looked like he was about to go sledding. He was wearing so many layers.
In 105 degree
in
temperature.
105 degree temps. And if you weren't aware, the show took place in St. Pete, Clearwater, which is a great area of Florida. I mean, that show was a commercial for St. Pete, Clearwater. There are some backroom deals going on some of these shows.
Yes.
In some of these locations. you had Twitch just randomly, the logo for Twitch on the back screen during some of these matches. And like, they wouldn't say anything about it. It was just the logo for Twitch, the logo for St. Pete, Clearwater. Tony's just trying to get some of those sponsor dollars that he knows are there now because of WWE. But guess what, Tony? You are not Nick. It's not going to come that easy.
Did Raw feel kind of like, I know why they did all these things on Raw, but it felt like, hey, we're going to do a lot of weird stuff on this show that kind of shotgun books a little bit there.
Well, I mean, you could say that maybe Triple H kind of booked himself into a corner. It's like, well, I want these main events for SummerSlam, and we have to sell out these nights. It's a two-night SummerSlam. It's going to be hot. It's in Minneapolis. It's outdoors. We want this to be a big show. 2 hours are going to be on ESPN. I need big matches for this, and you know what? I can't be having Sami Zayn as my champion. It was cool for Sami Zayn to have that moment.
Yeah, I wasn't even talking about that one, but go ahead.
There's a few. I think it was a cool moment for CM Punk to come back literally before CM Punk took his vacation that he said he wasn't taking. His words were, you never know when the title opportunity is going to present itself, going to come out of thin air.
Drop out of the sky.
And then guess what? Drop out of the sky. CM Punk dropped out of the sky. This title opportunity dropped out of the sky. He gets it. He wins it. It was a hell of a match. CM Punk is your champion now to go on. It will be a little interesting on TV how they get Cody Rhodes back in that without Sami Zayn in that, because I don't think they're going to do a multi-man match. I don't think they're going to do a four-way. I think you're getting Punk and Cody Rhodes. So here on TV at some point, you're going to get Sami and Cody. Sami's just not going to get his title rematch. But I'm interested. Yeah, because watching the entire week of Raw, I mean, tag team titles have certainly been flummoxed about. And I can see some of that just being a lead in to creating more heat for the Vision with Maxine. But here we were a couple of weeks ago on this program, this fine program with two M's and an E at the end. We were talking about the death of the Vision. Mm-hmm. And here we are. They're basically rebooting, not even rebooting, but they are adding members to a group that is still going to be around at least until Survivor Series.
It's almost like they literally just changed their mind.
Because they were like, okay, by the way, guys, let's go. Bron Breakker's back in the title picture. He had to win the tag team titles, then do the singles match with Seth, lose the tag team titles, and then win them back to fully cement that he's no longer involved with Seth Rollins. Like, this is the tag team title scene right now.
Before we go to that, I wanted to just circle back real quick.
All of it.
I hope they put that Sami Zayn promo that he recorded after losing on TV, because it was fantastic.
Yeah,
it really was.
The guy can talk. Who would have thought?
We get LA Knight.
LA Knight.
Say, I liked that promo a lot, but at the same time, you're kind of like, okay, we're going to heat him back up again now.
Well, hopefully, if they do it, because you're going to have Seth Rollins probably lose to Roman Reigns, right? And I would imagine Seth versus LA is probably what's coming next, except we also have Jimmy Uso and some Usos involved. Joe Hendry just decides whether he wants to show up or not and then goes away for a bit, shows up. Is he still going to be involved in the Vision? Are they doing the tag team title scene? And we're going to have there's a lot of summer refreshing, but it's not coming after a pay-per-view. It's coming before a pay-per-view and not necessarily after a draft or any type of momentous occasion where it's like, okay, we got to change the pulse here. It's just like, what do we want to do for the next 2 months? Oh, well, that's not where we're headed. Let me just change it all here on Raw.
Yeah, the Hendry involvement in getting the tag team titles was a big thing. And then they just crush him.
Well, he didn't show up, so obviously the Street Profits can't win because Hendry decided not to appear that night. What are you supposed to do?
It's like, okay, that's an interesting choice. That's an interesting choice. That's an interesting choice. I don't know if it's a good choice, but it's an interesting choice. It's just...
Yeah, you have the Don Callis family, back to AEW, the Don Callis family. 3 years later, after having this group begin, they're the Belt Collectors all of a sudden. National champion, international title again. They're just the group you come to if you want a title match, and we'll just pick and choose who you defend against. If you beat Jake Doyle, who will lose every single time. Also, the national champion, when that started and then Ricochet won, wasn't Tony coming out with this national champion? His idea he presented was this belt was going to be the world traveling belt. It was going to be the U.S. traveling belt. It was going to go onto the indies and other programs and do all these things. And one, Ricochet didn't do that all that much. And Mark Davis sure as hell ain't.
No, this was the evolution of the All Atlantic or whatever they called that when Pac had it and was doing that in like England and stuff. Yeah.
Because the All Atlantic belt, well, yeah, in theory, that's what they were supposed to. The All Atlantic became the international.
Tony keeps saying, I'm going to send people to these indies. And then they never go to these indies.
And MJF, I mean, MJF's credit, had still been doing indies up to this year and has decided he's focusing on AEW now, which is great because he doesn't have a title to defend anymore. The national champion. But the national title is like one too many. I know this comes up every so often about too many belts in AEW. You know, WWE has a lot of belts, but they're relatively segregated. You have most of which, you have your U.S. title on one brand, you have the Intercontinental on the different brand. So you're not also having the U.S. title and the Intercontinental on the same show. Rarely you will. Like this week, we had the WWE title defended on Raw, and they brought that up with the GMs. Like, why are you poaching my main event? I'm gone 1 week, and so how do you take my title? On AEW, though, on a Collision, on a Dynamite, you might have the ROH title defended, and then the international title defended, and then the national title defended, and then the TNT title defended, and then the AEW championship. And you're like, oh, well, they're giving us all these title matches. Why the fuck aren't you just every other wrestler a champion then? If you want every title match to be on a show and every show to have title matches, just make 15 titles, because that's where AEW is right now. They have way too many championships. And not a lot of real names holding some of those belts either.
Right. And it's a problem that can be solved because, like, when I first started wrestling or watching wrestling, it was Crockett when they had like two tag team titles. You had the Brass Knuckles Championship, you had the National, the US, the World, the television titles, and stuff like that. But they were all distinct and they were all individual personalities holding them. And they all kind of had their two or three guys that they were feuding with it within that stratosphere. And this is just like, it feels like, okay, we're going to have this AEW title match, and that's going to lead into an ROH pure match that we're going to have.
Right.
We're going to have Lee Johnson or Lee Moriarty or Lee or whatever Lee is holding the belt this week, defend it. It's part, the belt has no real meaning because you don't know the exact hierarchy of these titles, and the people holding these titles never tell you what the belt means to them or anything like that. They never give it any of their own personality to it, so you don't care about it. It's just belts on belts. And then you have old Kevin Two Belts coming out, Jet Two Belts. Becky should sue him for gimmick infringement. Amongst a group that has a bunch of other belts. So yeah. Why doesn't he just challenge Mark Davis for his national title?
We might be headed there because Kevin Knight, probably less than a month after joining up, around a month after joining up with the Don Callis family, comes out and he's just kind of shit talking his teammates.
Out of all the guys, Fletcher's the man on that crew.
Well, and Kevin Knight thinks he is.
And I get that, but he has never said anything other than I want two belts and I want a world title shot. I find this no buys in so many ways, and I think he's a great athlete, but I think he needs to work on his promos and say something different. And I'm just like, hey, I want a world title shot. Okay, that's great. What else? What does it mean to you? What does it do? You know, nothing. It's just, I want a world title shot. I want two belts. Okay, great.
One of the funniest moments, from AEW Dynamite this week was Will Ospreay coming out to somewhat interfere with the Kenny Omega match. He steals the diamond ring. Kenny Omega is like, do I hit MJF with this belt, this chair, this whatever? But Will Ospreay interferes, gets pushed down. Kenny Omega and MJF go back to wrestling. And then the TV camera is just right on Will Ospreay as he awkwardly doesn't know whether he should leave, jog up the ramp, stay in his spot, get out of there in some fashion. We see him kind of mildly jog to the top of the ramp, watch the match for another 3 seconds, and he's like, well, I guess I'll just go now.
Is he a heel or a baby face now? Because I can't tell. Because some of these promos are so heelish from him. And then he comes out, he interferes when he's not supposed to. Kenny then decides he's going to tempt heel them, throw the belt away or use the belt. You're just like, what are we doing?
At least with Kenny Omega, like, you could be like, okay, his better angels are arguing amongst his better demons.
Yeah.
Lesser demons. Because this guy, I mean, he put up the last time he could ever get a world title shot. Right. So yeah, in theory, even the best guy might, be tempted to have some underhanded tactics there. And Kenny Omega still good. Will Ospreay right now with this Death Rider storyline. And if you're going in to this big match at Wembley, Kenny Omega versus Will Ospreay, you don't really need the Death Rider storyline to be a part of this. And now they're stuck in it.
No. And Ospreay's whole thing is you gave up on yourself. And I'm just like, when did that ever happen? And just being a jerk. Yet he has the Death Rider's patch, but he refuses to do the film school entrance where he like has his own red light in the back. And, you know what? That might be the blow off in Quebec. Now that I'm thinking about it, is Moxley Ospreay.
I mean, I guess so, but it seems like they just, he's an official member. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. Like in two weeks as you're trying, then what's the point of doing Kenny Omega early as the champion? Because in theory you want 2 extra weeks of Kenny Omega versus Will Ospreay, but no, by the way, we needed to get this Jon Moxley stuff first. And then what, the Death Riders are just going to sit out all in and not fuck with Will Ospreay? Like, what the fuck? Maybe Dean, I almost called him Dean Ambrose. Okay, Moxley and Will Ospreay are doing this thing, and Will Ospreay potentially wins the championship, and Moxley's like, all right, you know, we've accepted you in, we got you to this point, it's time to pay the piper, it's time to give me the title shot, and maybe the fuckery happens there, potentially.
Instead of doing a 20-minute banger with the workhorseman, let's have some angle development. Let's do that.
No, it'll be Samoa Joe returning, winning the title, and now Samoa Joe is the champion again. Just because. I saw a tweet, and it was probably not by someone with a lot of followers, I would imagine, because it was one of the stupidest things I saw, but it showed up on my timeline. And it's like, I can't believe AEW is copying the Sami Zayn story with MJF as Sami Zayn. He had such a short run. I'm like, bitch, did you just not pay attention to the Darby Allin win? Like, Darby Allin and Sami Zayn are the same story. Do I think either one's copying either one? No. It just, they happen to happen at the same time. Darby Allin, this AEW lifer, finally gets the title. Never thought he would. Sami Zayn, WWE lifer, finally gets the title. Never thought he would. It's just a coincidence they're happening at the same time. But what the hell is that kind of comparison? MJF is AEW Sami Zayn.
It's the convenience of having two world titles switching hands within 72 hours. I think that's just it. And they think, oh, they called this. You know, right after they saw Punk, they panicked and they decided to crown it. No, that didn't happen. By the way, I saw a tweet that I thought was kind of smart. Let me put this
Which tweet of mine was it?
It was actually a clip of one Eric Bischoff who says that factions today are terrible with the exception of the Bloodline.
Well, yeah.
And I agreed because none of these factions can execute a plan and sustain any kind of, like, this Don Callis family should have run roughshod over AEW to the point where everybody's looking around going, what the hell do we do about the Don Callis family?
They literally got a bunch of geeks. Well, they have an exclusivity on buff, short hair, brown hair guys. They should be running roughshod with Jake Doyle, with all the people. Mark Davis. Who
else? They don't all have
Wardlow,
to be.
Wardlow still kind of involved
Wardlow,
there.
Brian
I feel like
Cage.
There's one I'm missing. Yeah, Brian Cage. That was the one I was missing. I mean, all the same
Trent,
guy. If you told me that those four guys going forward, those four guys were just going to be playing the part of one character, I'd be like, that's great casting. They're the same guy. Mm-hmm. Like, just Mark Davis is the national champion. Appearing and performing as Mark Davis tonight will be Wardlow.
That's not untrue. That's not untrue.
Saturday night's main event is coming up. It's only 9 days away from when we're recording this on Thursday night. Madison Square Garden will be broadcast on Peacock. That seems weird to still keep saying that there's going to be a WWE show on Peacock. Danhausen is the main event of this show. Danhausen versus JD McDonagh is currently the main event for this show. Paige and Brie Bella versus Fatal Influence for the women's tag team championships. I got to imagine they add something like a United States title match or an Intercontinental Championship match. Who knows? Maybe CM Punk will defend the championship against Sami Zayn on this show, and we get a rematch of that before Cody Rhodes gets his match. Something bigger has got to be added, right? Because right now, all the promotion and everything is tied to Danhausen, who is not going to be working a 15-minute main event.
No. And I would guess maybe a Jalen Brunson appearance is.
Oh,
happening.
We're getting a lot of shit on this one. We're getting Jalen Brunson appearing. We might even get Tyler Halliburton appearing. He wouldn't be involved. I don't know why he would be appearing, but why not? He's always seemingly there. So we could get Tyler Halliburton coming up like, okay, you had your run because the Pacers weren't ready this year. And we do something there. But I mean, Enzo and Big Cass are showing up here, right?
See, I haven't decided yet whether or not Danhausen's big friend is going to be a basketball player, is going to be Baron Corbin, or it's going to be Big Bill. So I don't know.
I tell you what. Baron Corbin, for all the shit, like you're letting go of Sheamus. Sheamus's contract is coming to end, and he's going to be departing WWE. You're letting go of all these guys released in the last round of layoffs, some of them who were even on TV at the moment. And you're doing all this just to bring back Big Cass and Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin, his last 3 years on TV was great TV. And if he comes back humbly and is a part of the Danhausen gimmick, who is not ready for that? That would be Baron, especially if he's doing full faceplate and it's Baronhausen.
Yes.
Come on. This guy would be great for this. They got the same chest tattoos.
Exactly. And that's probably why they re-signed him.
He's coming back to be a part of Danhausen, man. Danhausen is creating jobs.
So, another match. I mean, Sol Ruka.
Another match. Oh, Sol Ruka. Yeah, she could, she seems like the Saturday night's main event type.
Tiffy and whatever happens with that mid-card title over there.
Tiffy seems like the Saturday night's main event type.
Yeah. I mean, but there has to be like a main eventer on this show. You can't just do this and not have Punk or Cody.
Oh, you can't. Or,
well, you do Cody and Sammy here.
I remind you, the last one was main evented by Penta.
But that was seen as important.
Was it though?
No.
To Fort Wayne, it was. Man, they were a loud crowd. But if you go into Madison Square Garden and your main event is the Intercontinental title, holy
that's what
shit.
That's what it's gonna be. It's gonna be Javon Evans winning the Intercontinental title at MSG.
Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collins, and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic, and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends to breakdowns of individual performers and angles to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.